Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
Before I give you the title, I just want to say, woman, what a marvelous creation you are. From every tribe and tongue, she is fearfully and wonderfully made. She is the master's finishing touch. Woman was created equal, but different to Adam. She's unique. She had a very special purpose, and that does not suggest subordination. She has the feminine heart that dreams about romance. The hero of her heart, if she encounters him, is the Lord Jesus Christ. She is the picture of the bride of Christ. What an honor. Amen. What an absolute honor that we, the feminine side, should be referred to in the Bible as the bride, as the church, and she. It's referring to she. Amen. Just absolutely wonderful. I want to just read from Ephesians 5:25. To 7 from the Weymouth translation. It says, "Married men, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up to death for her, in order to make her holy, cleansing her with a baptismal water by the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle or any other defect, but to be holy and unblemished." You know, I can say so many more good things about us girls, us women, from Song of Songs. It almost sounds like a fairy tale. And there is a happily ever after. But can I just say, we choose the end of the story. We choose if it's going to be happy ever after, or if in our dying moments we're going to say, "Sorry, Lord, I failed you. Please forgive me." Amen? The title tonight is God's Design for Womankind. God's Design for Womankind. I liked the way it rhymed. Where did it begin? And what was to be her purpose? Because God never creates anything without a purpose. And it usually fills an unique role and position. So right in the beginning of the book of Genesis, because if you're a believer, you have to go to the first 12 chapters of Genesis, as we've been told by taught by my husband in this church, to fully understand what God is all about and to understand where we come in, right? So right in the beginning of Genesis, before Eve existed, God was looking for a helper for Adam. And it says in chapter 2:18 and a few verses scattered in between, "Then the Lord said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is right or suitable for him.' The Lord God used the rib from the man to make a woman, and then he brought the woman to the man, and the man said, 'Now this is someone whose bones come from my bones, whose body come from my body. I will call her woman because she was taken out of man.'" My first thought this evening is, before we are called woman, we are called helper. Sila, moment, pause, think about it. Before we are called woman, we are called helper. This is a compliment. This is a compliment because God is our helper. Psalm 54 verse 4 says, "But God is my helper. The Lord keeps me alive." See, we were created to solve problems. It's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. That's why I love I love working with the guys, don't get me wrong, but I love working with the girls. I've got a whole team of gorgeous girls on staff, and you know, the DNA of that helper kicks in when we sit down and think tank what we're going to be doing, that it's in our DNA. We're wired that way. Whether we're married or not, we're still wired that way. I really think it must thrill God when he sees women being helpers wherever they can, in the house, in the church, in the community. Amen? I can just imagine God saying, look at my gorgeous girls. They are walking in their purpose. They're being the helpers that I created them to be. In the New Testament, we have been given the Titus mandate as older women. We are the older women in the house. Hands up, the older girls. All the older girls, all the older girls. We've lived longer, hey. We've had more time with God. And there's been like more revelation sometimes, not always, but the mandate on us older girls, this is what it looks like in Titus 2, 3 to 5. It says, tell the older women to live their lives in a way that shows they are dedicated to God. Tell them not to be gossips or addicted to alcohol, but to be examples of virtue. In this way, they will teach young women to show love to their husbands and children, to use good judgment, and to be morally pure. Also tell them to teach young women to be homemakers, to be kind, and to place themselves under their husband's authority. Then no one can speak evil of God's word. That should just be a message completely on its own. What does it mean? You see, there's a purpose that we have got to walk in, not our own. Can I be honest with you tonight? Don't hate me and please don't tweet this, okay? But I don't like the t-shirts that says, the future is female. Can I have an amen? From God's gorgeous girls? There's truth in that though. There is truth in it. But the future is male and female. There is no such thing as just us now. It's our time and get out of the way, all you blokes. No. No, no, no. No, no. That's not God's design for mankind, let alone for womankind. Amen? And I'm not annoyed by it. I'm just getting passionate about it because, you know what? Like, truth. Truth, people are devoid of truth. They just go with what the world is dishing up and what the trends are. And if you have a t-shirt that says that, you can still wear it to Sisters of Africa and we will still love you. Amen? Secondly, tonight, your purpose will unfold more and more as you just remain faithful at your post. And I will explain all this, what I'm meaning tonight, because as homemakers, I was a working mother. And I will just encourage you tonight. I'm not telling you to go be barefoot in the kitchen and give up your career, and that's all you're going to do is serve your husband and call him Lord, like Sarah did. That's not what I'm saying. But if you want to do that, and that's your conviction, that's your choice. I just think often people are confused about their purpose. And if I go before God, and I went before God with this message, with Genesis, the purpose for man and women at the very beginning was to be with God. If we lose that, we lose everything. So he, you know, in the cool of the night, there was Jesus, God walking. Not Jesus yet, God walking. And there was Adam and Eve. And they conversed with God. There was a language between them. And they had fellowship. And this is the thing that we can't lose. We can't do this thing without having fellowship with God. So just to build on the whole thing of purpose for man and for woman, was to be in fellowship. And then there was to be Eve, the helper to Adam. And then they were fruitful. And then they multiplied. And then they replenished the earth. I love how the message says it in Genesis 1:28. It says, God bless them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. That's the mandate on us. But all of that in the presence of God. And we know that the fall drove them out of the presence of God. They had lost a lot of the privileges and that bond that they had with God. But God never left them. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Amen. And so just as a sub point here, it is in being faithful with what he has entrusted to us that more purpose comes. It's in just being faithful and being at your post with what he has called us to do, the helper in us, amen? And just being faithful to our families, faithful to our husbands, our children, that God will reveal more purpose. And secondly, another sub-point, keep God at the center of your life. In everything you do, in every prayer that you have, in every desire, in every dream, in every thought that comes to your mind about what you can be, just keep God at the center of your life. Because it's in the beauty of fulfilling the role of wife, mother, daughter, sister, while we focus on God, in all of those seasons, that he will reveal the more in you, without you abdicating your role. Look to your neighbor and say, there's more in you. There's more. There is more in us. Amen? Learn from the Proverbs 31 woman. She hired helpers to help her run her household. She didn't do it all. She was obviously a wife, a mother, and a businesswoman. It speaks of her going on a ship to faraway places to go and find fine material, bring it back, and make garments to sell. Amen? And you know what is so wonderful about her? She never neglected her responsibility. She had her home in order. If you read and study Proverbs 31, she took the first steps of obedience, and her husband rose up and called her blessed. That is why she is in the Word of God. She never abdicated. She still took responsibility for home. For many years, as a businesswoman, before the ministry and even after the ministry, I had helpers 3 times a week or now every day if I can to help me because I'm still responsible. I still tell them. I still delegate. I don't abdicate, amen? And that doesn't mean I have to do everything to please God or to be in his good books or to fulfill my purpose for what he has called me to do. We can still do all of those things with help that comes alongside. And isn't it beautiful? Invariably, it's a woman helper that comes alongside us, amen? Because it's in our DNA. We are wired that way. My mother, Barbara, that's her, bless her. Been with Jesus for 24 years now. Came to know the Lord at the age of 68, left the earth when she turned 81. My mother never stood on a platform. She never even shared her testimony to a crowd. But when she passed away, I found lists upon lists upon lists of people she had prayed for, quietly in her apartment in Cape Town, and I just felt the tears run down my eyes when I saw how she had labored in prayer, fulfilling her purpose and her call. Not everyone's called to stand on platforms. Not everyone will be given a platform. I'm surprised I have been given a platform, trust you me. But just to tell you about my mom, she prayed for Mr. Nelson Mandela before even he was released from prison. She prayed for various politicians. She prayed for Pastor Andre. She prayed for Adrian, my delinquent boy, who now is lead pastor of Bolito Rivers Church down there by the coast. And I think there's a message in this for you. If you are a prayer warrior and you've got your list of people you go through at night or in the morning when you wake up, first thing in the morning, maybe last thing at night, those prayers live on decades after you are gone. Amen? So why am I bringing that point in? It's because, you know, as you are faithful, the more in you will come to the fore. I don't think my mom ever thought she'd be part of the church. She'd be as loved as she was. I don't think she ever thought that she'd be part of a women's group. She would, you know, go to connect groups. She would love church and worship with all her heart and then be given this task that God had laid on her heart to pray for others. And that is not something small. It's not a small thing. Amen. She fulfilled her role as a wife and as a mother. Amen. And as a child of God. Third point this evening is, when you remain faithful with your responsibilities, you will position yourself for more. There's something that happens to you, and you don't even know it, but you're actually positioning yourself for something better or more in your life than you ever, ever would have dreamed. Never at the expense of home or family. You know, if God has put a dream in your heart and you know from tonight and you've known it before, there is something more in me. Like achieving more with my talents, with my abilities. Just keep Jesus at the center of your life and pray about it. Amen? Pray about it. You know, He will open the door for you to achieve that. In fact, depend on God more than you depend on yourself. You see, we get taught correctly, you can do it, right? You need to, you know, seize the moments. You need to go for it. And yes, but you can't make things happen that God has not told you He wants you to do, right? No matter how the desire in you can be immature. It doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass. It's like Joseph, right? The dreams that he had many decades later came to pass. You know, Sarah made things happen. She encouraged her husband, like, I would just kill him right there if he ever suggested to me anything like this. Okay? Sarah encouraged her husband to sleep with Hagar, her maid, to make the dream come true. Let me see how I can make my dream come true. I'm a singer. I'm just going to take my CD down and just flop it down there at the reception and see if I can sing at Sisters of Africa. Now, I'm not mocking you. I'm just saying, rather just keep Jesus at the center, and at the right time, that door will open for you. You see, Ishmael was not the result God was looking for. When we keep our eyes on God, we win. When we take our eyes off God, we wangle. Let's see how we can wangle this, you know. Let's move the things around a little bit. Make sure He's there at that time and I knock on the door and He can, you know. We can't wangle. We win with God when we keep our eyes on Him. Ask God to make the pieces fall together, the puzzle pieces of your life. Amen. In fact, don't make the Ishmael, because Ishmaels are our agenda, not God's agenda. Amen. At the right time, as I said. You know what? God sees you. He sees. He's the God who sees. He hears you. He cares for you. And you know what? You just need to stick to God's agenda. Lord, if this is what you want from me, I am willing, and I know if you called me, you will equip me to do what you have called me to do. Amen. Positioning yourself can be like trying to find a parking space at a parking garage. Anyone with me? On a Friday lunchtime, when you're going to the hairdresser. But you know, there's no parking bays available, and you just wait and you sort of look for any movement through that door from the shopping center, like, oh, there. But you know what you need to do? You need to put your indicator on or your hazards on, and you've got to start your car a little bit forward, because you are positioning yourself to take that spot. It's no good you like sitting back thinking, oh, no one's going to come around, and I'll just chill until they out properly, go past, then I'll swing my car around, or even I'm on the other side, I'll just make a U-turn and swing my car. You know what? It doesn't work. Amen? It doesn't work. We have to position ourselves, or else we miss opportunities, but we can't make Ishmaels. Amen? In terms of not the parking, in terms of the bigger things of our lives. It reminds me of the story in Matthew 25. You have the parable that Jesus was teaching about the five wise bridesmaids and the five foolish bridesmaids. The five wise bridesmaids positioned themselves for success and for the welcome into the wedding feast. Why? Because they had lamps that had to be filled with oil. And they took care that they had the oil in their lamps. But the foolish ones mucked about and didn't take care, didn't position themselves, and they completely missed out. Amen. It's when we do what we know we're supposed to do that we position ourselves for something more than what we ever could have imagined. Number four, when we faithfully position ourselves as helpers, God can position us for more. When we are in position, the design that He has for us to be helpers, we're faithful at our posts, we're positioning ourselves, God notices and He sees. The more in us will come to the fore. With God's blessing, really and truly with God's blessing, amen? If serving is below you, someone said, leadership is beyond you. You want to be a leader in the house of God? There are levels of leadership in God's house. You know, there are department heads, there are volunteer team leaders. If you aspire to more, because let's be honest, God has definitely put more in all of us, hasn't He? He surprises us sometimes by what He has called us to do and what He's put in us. We've got to pull it out of ourselves, and then we are amazed at how He equips us. Amen? So you need to be that helper person, that serving person, because if you're aiming for leadership and serving is below you, leadership will definitely be beyond you. The principle of faithful in little still applies. God can never position us for more when we have not been faithful. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with a lot. You know, the Lord surprised me. Speaking of surprises, you know, I felt more called into full-time ministry than Pastor Andre, because he just couldn't get his act together. I'm serious. He'll tell you. I know God spoke to us from the Word. He even spoke to him from the same Bible with the same verse in Haggai, right? I haven't got time to go there. And you know, usually it's the woman who feels, if we give up everything, we were running a successful business with several shops. You know, usually the woman's the one who says, oh, I hope he doesn't say we called into full-time ministry, because, you know, I have to give up my Alfa Romeo and I can't go to, you know, the Golden Acre in Cape Town and just shop like I used to and eat at La Perla. Actually, when the call of God comes, it's so strong, you just don't care. You just, because you just know that you know that you know. Amen? Because you've been faithful with what He has designed for your life. A good wife, a good homemaker, a good mother, and you love God and you keep Him at the center, then He positions you for something more than you ever could have dreamed of. You know, when Pastor Randy was here on Sunday, I don't know if you were here, he spoke about how his teachers criticized him and said, you're not going to amount to nothing, you know. And then he stands before his church or he's speaking to thousands upon thousands of people, the word of God, then this thought goes through his mind, what do you say now? Right? Amen? God surprises you. And eventually my husband came to the party, and then he overtook me with passion. Isn't that good? Then he overtook me. So God will surprise you, and it will unfold, and it's not what it will look like right now. Amen? You may become a CEO of a company. You may be highly successful in business or wherever it is that God has gifted for you to be. And you know, we have a lot of people, a lot of sisters in this ministry who are the breadwinners. Amen? They are the breadwinners. You may be the breadwinner in your home, and we have many of you like this because I know I have met you. God's design for you as a woman is not to be the man of the house. Can I encourage you? When you come home, husband is still the head of your home, whether he's the house husband or himself a corporate or a CEO. Amen? That's God's design. Now, to the world, it sounds foolish and crazy, but to God, He sees, He knows, and you want blessing in your life? You do what He says. Amen? You know, I'm not saying that being a wife and a mother is a little thing. It's a very big thing. It's a very big deal. It's the very thing that God was saying right there in Genesis at the beginning. Amen? You know, because some people see family as a nuisance because now, you know, I'm a high flyer now. I'm flying to Las Vegas, and I'm flying to LA, and then I'm flying to Zurich, and then I'm flying to New York, you know, and my family's just like, you know, they're just in my way. You want blessing? That's on God's way. That's on God's way. Amen? Stay at your post in your heart. Take on the position of helper in your heart, even though other people serve you. I love watching God's house because, you know what? I'm going to run out of time. You know what? Like, we had Pastor Randy here, and Mawela, do you know him? He's a businessman, educated, articulate, is the driver. Then he takes Pastor Randy to the restaurant, and he sits like in a driver's little section of this posh restaurant. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what those waiters, waitresses, and, you know, even the receptionist at the desk of this posh restaurant, very nice, thinks about him. He doesn't care what they think about him. He's not so much just a driver. He's an amazing helper. Amen? And a servant of God. And so can we all be. Amen? So, just to get back to the man of the house, God's design for you is to respect your husband as the head of the home. And if you're a single mother, obviously things are slightly different for you. Pastor Andre's mother used to say, I'm your mother and your father. Now, I don't know how biblical that is, but certainly she sorted him out to be the person he is today. And so we with you, any single moms in the house, we love you. And we pray for you. And we know how hard it can be. We know the struggles. We know the fears that you have for your children. You have to rely on other people to help you with lifting them and all of that stuff. And so we applaud you. You know what? I'm basically done. You know what? God positions you to be a powerful influence in this world when it's His call. You don't see six Esthers and 12 Deborahs in the Word of God. You see one Esther who saved a people. You see one Deborah who was the judge of Israel. Amen? And you see one Lydia written about in the Word of God, who was a businesswoman who opened her heart and opened her home for the Apostle Paul and all those who traveled with him. So if you want to be used as a great woman of God in any field, be a helper and start within your own home. Amen? Start within your home. Let it spill out into your church. God will see and he will move you in place for such a time as this. You know, it says of Esther, Mordecai said to her, "Who knows that you are not in this position for such a time as this?" Amen? And that can be our story as well. God's design for womankind is for a great purpose in his plan. History will show us many years from now, God was right and God knew best. The world can say what they like, they can think we're a bunch of idiots, but everyone has to stand before the living God one day, everyone, amen? And then they have to hear what was important to God. We have the Word of God and we know what is important to God. We've already got pre-conference thingies flying around here. Am I helping you tonight as I come to the close this evening? Wow. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be a wife and to be a mother. If you're not a wife because you are a widow, if you're divorced, if you never got married, you're a single mom, it's still a beautiful thing because God cares so much for you that he says, "I set the lonely in families." You see, because families have a mom and a dad. In this house, you have a spiritual mom and dad. We can't knock on all your doors. We can't phone you. We don't know all of you. But God knows, and we bring you before God. Amen? And so don't ever downplay what motherhood is, what being a wife is, and wait your turn because you are wired and you have the DNA of a helper in you. We're just waiting for the day that you are found, because he who finds a wife, amen, finds a good thing. Finally, I just want to say, as we position ourselves to be the helper, watch him position us for more. Amen? Can anyone testify to that? That you know that as you have remained faithful, being a loving wife, a good mother, amen, helping people beyond your family, helping the community, just that in you is like having the DNA of God, because it says of him, God is our helper. Isn't it good to be called a helper? A help meet, meeting him at his point of what his need may be. And can I say, every marriage is different, right? Obviously, there's the intimacy that we can't get away from and don't want to get away from. Anyone want to get away from that? I don't want to get away from that. Just a confession. It's the pre-conference jitters that's going on right here now. Let me say this, every household is different. The husband has different needs. My husband has different needs to your husband. He does not like shopping groceries, so I'll make sure that I will shop groceries, or I have Mona to help me to shop groceries. I'm being a helper, even if someone else is doing it on my behalf. Do you get the picture here? I'm running my household. I make sure there's food in the cupboards, there's food in the fridge, even if I don't physically do it myself. We're living in the 21st century where people cannot afford to stay at home like they used to. Amen? If your husband releases you to be able to do a great job making the world a better place, being an anesthetist, being a doctor, if your husband releases you with his blessing, enjoy what you are called to do. Run in your lane and just make the world a better place. When you come home and he's just a mechanic, he's your hero. He's maybe not the breadwinner. And that is where we stop thinking in the natural and we stop listening to these voices in the natural. Amen? We step into another realm, and the other realm is, what does God think and what does God say? Amen? Amen. I wish you all well as you be the helpers and you walk in the design and purpose that God has for your life. And I trust I've helped you. If you want your marriage to improve, just be that. You know, I know that in the early days of our marriage and Christianity, I read a book called Fascinating Womanhood. You know, we do the best we can to be better. Amen. And I remember, like, this woman writing that, you know, if you open a jar of pickles or peanut butter and, you know, it's so tight, just take it to him and he will open it for you. And, you know, and you just feel his biceps and you think, I want to tell you, after 45 years of marriage, it gets very, very tiring. Where do I go from what I've just said now? You know, I just want to get serious now and just say one of the best ways to position ourselves tonight is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, Lord, your will, not my will, be done. Not what my neighbor thinks I should be doing. Not what the people at work or even my sister or my cousin. Wada, 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 wada. And it goes completely against the word of God. Amen? Lord, they can call me. They can martyr. They can throw stones. They can put me in the lion's den. I'm not going to bow to this world. I'm going to stick with you, Lord Jesus. You've got my back. You saved me. Lord, you've done amazing things in my life. You've brought me through. You've healed me. You've healed my marriage how many times? Lord, my children serve you. How can I turn my back on you? How can I agree with people who are completely contrary to what you say in their behavior? No, I'm not going to have the blind leading me. I'm going to try my best to lead them. Amen? Just open your heart to him tonight. If you feel a sense tonight that you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And girls, you're all going to pray with me for precious women here tonight who are saying, you know what, I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. And I'm going to want to have this encounter that everyone else speaks about. I want to have it for myself. And I want to open my heart to Jesus. I want to ask him to come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. Teach me his ways that I may walk in his truth, that he can guide me and I can know what's important to him.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.